Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey everyone and welcome to Adulting with Ebony. Today I am joined by my good friend Amy, who is a system specialist that helps entrepreneurs build roadmaps to their goals and find and implement the perfect systems to manage all the moving parts of their business. Hey Amy.
Hi Ebony.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me.
I'm going to start with a question of what is adulting to you? Or what is being an adult?
Yeah, am I an adult? Has that happened already?
Well, that's the thing. Like, how do we define it? Yeah, it isn't absolutely. Just turning an age, is it?
Yeah, I'd say definitely not. I know a lot of 40-year-old children. So, but yeah, I adulting to me has absolutely been the shift between feeling like things happen to me and realizing that I'm in control. Every choice I make is up to me, and every choice I make is a sort of vote towards how I want my future to be. And so for me, that's been the big thing. I think when I was younger, I did quite a bit of sort of feeling the victim mentality and feeling like, oh, these horrible things are happening to me. I mean, horrible is too strong, but you know, if something, you know, if I have a dramatic relationship in my life, or, you know, those things that we tend to think happened to us, I started to realize my role in them. And that's been absolutely growing up to me, is being like, okay, this is actually on me now.
Mm. Yeah. I get that. And I think that's so true. It's that transition to empowerment by realizing that stuff's perhaps happening for you rather than to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, our contribution to other people as well. Like, I started to really look at how I show up in other people's lives and whether or not that contributes to fostering their adulthood, you know, and sort of encouraging their growth. And I guess I associate adulting with growing. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that I'll ever be, I mean, yeah, I don't think I'll ever be one of those people that is a very mature, responsible adult. And the more adults I meet, the more I realize that no one is.
Yeah, you know? See, okay, so that's the thing, right? So to me, yeah. There's two things I want to pick up on that you said. The first one is it's helping other people to grow too, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's about being kind, and mm-hmm. other times that's like being kick-ass or having boundaries and holding them mm-hmm. firm, right? So I really want to dive into talking a little bit about boundaries with you.
Yeah.
Something else you just said that I was like, oh yes, that. Oh no. Oh, okay. So you do systems. That's the most grown up thing in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because the way that I think about everything is within structure. So the more, I feel like the better my systems are, the less responsible I have to be actually. Because if I'm having to carry everything and remember everything and put everything in place manually, that's draining. That takes away joy. That takes away, you know, it takes away lightness. And so if I have systems taking care of things, then it actually like frees me up to have more joy and creativity. Actually, the main point is more creativity. The more I have my systems taking care of things, the more innovative I can be, the more I can think big, the more, you know, you can make money more automatically and not have to worry so much about paying the bills. So I feel like systems are my key to like staying childlike in a way.
Yeah, but also to me, that's the very essence of adulthood, right? It's like taking care of business so that we can all play. Mm-hmm. Like from where I'm at, it's like my whole essence and reason for living is freedom. Okay. And mm-hmm. that's very playful, right? I love traveling. I love seeing the world. I love getting to meet people like you and hanging out or seeing my friend's kids or, you know, choice, empowered mm-hmm. choice all of the time. Mm-hmm. And the only way that happens is because I'm a grown up. The only way that happens is because I like put money away, have systems, have a team, like deal with the stuff so that life can happen and can be really fun.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And it's, nobody tells you that though. You know, you think like you just have to grind it out all the time and just be, you know, adulthood now is just like not having any fun anymore. You know, and a lot of, I feel like a lot of adults taught me that growing up, because there's a lot of adults that, that live that and they don't realize that there is, like, once you come out the other side of getting through putting adulthood in place or adulting in place, there is this sort of freedom. And I think people, a lot of people wait, you know, in traditional circles, wait for retirement for that. You know, it's like, that's what retirement for. You work really hard for 25, 30 years, however long people work for. And then you have retirement, and that's for the freedom and the playfulness. But like you're saying, you can actually have that every day. And I see you living that every day, which I love and am inspired by.
Thank you. That means so much to me, actually. I think one of the things for me was learning, like when I travel, I spend an hour and a half in the morning working. Like I check in, check all my systems, get the stuff done that has to be done. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, fuck this shit, I want to go play, because I'm somewhere cool, right? So I'm like in Bali or in Italy or like wherever I'm hanging out. Mm-hmm. So I focus and get it all done in an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. Why is this not possible in my day-to-day life? Why am I at home? When I'm at home, I'm like, I will stay at my desk from, you know, 9 until 6 every single day. And when I realized that my working life when I was traveling versus my working life at home was so different, I'm like, why? This doesn't have to be this way. We must be able to do something about this. And that actually leads us kind of really nicely into boundaries, because it's boundaries with, sometimes it was being boundaried with myself and with other people and with my clients and with my team, and like building that team, trusting them with it, but really getting on top of, into understanding boundaries, that changed a lot of that for me.
Boundaries are such a funny thing. I mean, I started learning about boundaries in personal relationships. Like, so I'm turning 40 next year. I just turned 39, and I probably learned about boundaries in personal relationships like 4 years ago. And, you know, I spent so much time doing things for other people and then resenting them for it. And the things that I did for other people, it's not even like they asked me to. I would just go out of my way to do things for people and acquiesce when they were just sort of having a simple ask about something. But because they asked, I felt obligated to do it. And that obligation I then resented. So I don't know if that's making sense, but essentially I realized that I can just say no to things, and that no is a complete sentence.
What happened that you learned this?
I think it was kind of, actually it was a relationship falling apart. So it was a relationship that I had where I let my partner have a lot of power and make a lot of decisions. And I realized that I was starting to resent those things, but it wasn't that he was like super bossy and domineering. It was that I never stood up for myself, actually. And I didn't express the things that I really needed. And so when that relationship kind of came to a close, and then I ended up going traveling for, you know, I was out of the country for almost a year, sort of on and off. And I started to realize that it wasn't just that relationship that was happening. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know exactly. I think it was that sort of triggered it, but I think it took me some time, to figure out exactly what that looks like in practice. And then I saw the same boundary issues coming up in client relationships, where I was just waking up, and I would do meetings with clients at 2 o'clock in the morning, because that was the time that worked for them, because they're in another time zone, you know? And it's like, I thought, oh, this is just what you do when you're hustling and trying to build a business. And I would be exhausted and not be able to get my own stuff done the next day. But at least they got their meeting, you know? And it was like,
was that when you were traveling and there was a part of you that was like, well, I'm having a nice time, I am traveling, it's my fault that we're not on the same time zone, so I'm going to go out of my way to make this happen?
Yes, but even in Canada, I'm like, well, I'm the one in the Pacific time zone, you know, like even being at home, like I need to somehow compensate, you know, and feeling an obligation to show up with more than half of things, but at my own expense. And I think that's the biggest part. Like, I love giving, and I love being generous with my time and generous with whatever I can be generous with, but not at my expense. And I think that was the difference, is I was working for clients at my expense. And what's hilarious is that the minute I started setting boundaries and telling people, oh, okay, actually, I only take meetings on these days and I don't take meetings, they're like, okay. You know, I expected it to be like, oh, they might fire me or they might not want to work with me because I can't meet there. And it's just not the case. And anyone that is that crazy that they won't meet you in the middle probably shouldn't be a client anyway. So, you know, it's funny that I thought the boundaries were selfish. And I thought that by asking for them, there was a feeling that I might get rejected. And that's particularly true in personal relationships. Like I thought, oh, if I ask for what I really need, they might not love me anymore. They might not want, you know, it might be the one thing that makes it so that I'm not a good partner anymore, which is crazy now that I understand boundaries a little bit better. But then I think that there was this big pendulum swing where I was like crazy about boundaries. Like, no, no, no.
You found your no. Yeah.
And then, yeah, I was like, no, I will not meet you there. It has to be on my terms. And that, you know, that only lasted a few weeks before I realized that it actually feels good to negotiate for a win-win. And I think the concept of a win-win is really interesting because there's a notion in relationships about compromise. Mm. And I spoke to a counselor once, I think it was in relationship counseling actually. And the counselor explained compromise can be good, but compromise is essentially someone not getting what they want. And oftentimes there is a win-win. It's just more work to actually figure out, okay, what's really going to work well for both of us? Not just like something we can tolerate or accept, but what's going to work well. And he gave the example of if you get a paycheck every 2 weeks and the paycheck's $10 short, it's like one time, fine. But if every time that $10 is compromised, and if every time your paycheck's $10 short, that's going to add up, you know, at the end of the year, it's a bunch of money that you're like, why am I giving this over all the time? And so the extra work that it takes in a relationship, whether that's a client relationship or a personal relationship, to settle on a win-win is often worth it. Because if you can make it so that both people walk away with their boundaries being respected and them getting the thing that helps them, and if both people approach the conversation with that, I feel like, yeah, what? So I've felt recently that putting in the extra work to find the win-win is always worth it.
So this is really great because I agree like wholeheartedly, mm-hmm. but I feel like there's two things that we have to have in order to be able to find that. Mm-hmm. And the first one is enough kind of self-love to not be on the defensive straight away, mm-hmm. so that we can actually operate from what do you want, with curiosity and listening rather than mm-hmm. a back foot straight away. Yeah. And Absolutely. The other one is the ability to communicate and articulate what it is that you want. And I find that so many of us, when asked, what do you want? Don't know. Like, haven't actually really given any thought.
Yeah.
Often, like some, so I wonder whether you would agree with that.
Absolutely. And it reminds me, because I find talking about the way that I feel very easy. And there's a couple of issues I think that I have a hard time talking about, but most things, if I'm upset about something, I can point to it directly and say, I'm feeling this way because of these emotions that link to this thing that happened to me once, you know, but that's not something that everyone can do or that everyone's been taught to do. Like, it's something that I've been taught to do over, you know, doing personal development. But I was recently dating someone that could not for the life of him say what he wanted. So it turned out after dating for 4 months, he explained to me that he's never actually asked for what he wanted. And he just said what I wanted to hear all the time. So there was plenty of stuff that we did that he wasn't interested in doing at all. And I'm like, it just blew my mind that someone doesn't just say, oh no, I don't want to do that. But he wasn't taught to do that. So it's for him, he was taught to just that he wasn't important enough to stand up for himself. And it's whatever anyone else wants is more important than what he wants or needs. And even asking for needs was a big thing. So that the self-love and the ability to communicate, those are both missing. And they're two things I take entirely for granted. And I haven't always had, you know, self-love. And self-love, I think, is, you know, it can be an on again, off again relationship for me. But
that's the deal with love, isn't it? I mean, love isn't always... you know, a bed of roses and romance and sunsets mm-hmm. and champagne, right? Sometimes it's hard.
Yeah. Love is coming back to the table anyways. Yeah. You know, despite everything else, it's showing up again anyways. Yeah. Yeah, it's super interesting. And then talking about like boundaries and the recent like development of boundaries in my life is directly correlated with the degree to which I feel like I deserve to set boundaries. You know, that like you said, it like boundaries require self-love. And I hadn't put those two together before. But yeah, if I don't feel like I can stand up for myself or ask for the thing that I need, like that's not valuing myself or honoring myself. And I, you know, I think the other thing that happened in relationships is I kind of expected my partner to know when not to ask too much of me, you know? And so we had this sort of tug of war on in that because he's like, I get to just ask whatever I need from you. And it's up to you to say whether that works for you or not. But in my mind, I'm like, no, you should know what's going on for me and know when to ask what. And it was like kind of this, who should own that piece? And I still am not clear on that because I still think that there's in partnerships, there's a thing where, yeah, you should have some like awareness around what's going on for someone and help them when they can't help themselves, you know, but it's like, to what degree do we take entire responsibility for everything? And to what degree are we allowed to lean on our partner for support in setting boundaries or support in recognizing when we're not our best kind of thing. So I don't know, that was a lot.
But you've also got to be open to it.
Right.
Right. So if someone tells me how I am from an observation, if it comes without, if I haven't asked for it, I am not accepting of it. Right. So if I, right. Do you know what I mean? So if someone says, hey, I think you need some alone time because I think you're tired and you haven't looked after yourself properly and actually this isn't working and like go and be alone for a bit and then how about we get back together in like 2 days time? I don't know, whatever the scenario
is.
Mm-hmm. If I haven't initiated that, I am not okay with it.
You're like, how dare you?
I am fine. Clearly right. I'm clearly overtired.
Yeah.
You need some space. But it's not okay for you to have recognized it first.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and I guess in that case, it would just be, yeah, it'd be learning the approach that works. So if it's like, if instead that person was like, oh, hey, what do you think you need right now to make this moment better? Or, you know, whatever, like some way of phrasing it.
And that is beautiful because that's kind of the coaching way with each other rather than the like telling someone.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us do very well with being told what to do. Particularly in my world, and it works so much better when someone's like, hey, have you checked in with yourself, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I can see how, you know, even in the wrong moment that could come across as condescending if they, you know, but if you have that relationship with that person where you're like, we're going to play that role or like offer that insight in those moments.
And what's beautiful about that, and I say this quite a lot, it's like actually having some rules, no one can see me air quoting, but having some rules feels like too adult, right? And too like, oh, why do we have to have rules in a relationship that's supposed to be fun? But actually, if you set up the kind of the playing field, if you set up the container with these rules and expectations around how we treat each other and maybe it is a date night, maybe it is like just a checking in. And like, I've worked with couples where I've been like, when you meet at the end of the day, you just need to give each other 3 minutes to talk. And the other one just listen and then you see. Rather than both talking at each other when you first walk in the door, right? Like let's set up these kind of systems, if you like, for communicating so that it can be fun. And I feel like that's actually what we're talking about in all areas, right? Like set the systems up so that there's a structure in which to be impulsive and flow and have fun and creative.
Yeah, and I think I'm not sure if this, I mean, I guess this extends to work relationships, but I think another word might be like agreements. Like you have these agreements that in these times, you know, and the word agreement makes it feel like this thing we decided together that works for both of us, you know, instead of like one person making a rule. I mean, rule, like I think I'm like you, I absolutely reject the word rule. Like I don't want rules for anything. And the minute there's a rule, I'm like, well, I'm definitely going to break that. You know? Like the law is one thing I like mostly stick to, but outside of like legal rules.
Well, and you know, maybe, and I love that language is so important to us, right? So maybe it's guidelines, maybe it's expectations, maybe it's because essentially what we're doing is overtly getting onto the same page.
Yeah. And I, like most people have to, I mean, both people have to want that, like you said, you know, it has to be something that you're open to. Yeah. So interesting. And then how much hindsight you get when you learn these things, then you look back at old relationships and client relationships and friendships and you're like, oh yeah, if I'd have known this, then things would have been a bit different. But we learn and we grow.
Yeah. And for me, that's the beautiful thing about boundaries, right? You start this work and my, you start up kind of putting some in place and then adjusting them and tightening them and adjusting them because your life evolves and it's it's not a one-time job. You don't just one time go, here is my fence. You know, you, it's a movable thing and they will change as you grow.
Amazing. Yeah, so true.
Thank you for coming and having a conversation about communication and boundaries.
I would do this every day if we could.
We're happy to do all day long. I've been doing this thing because the conversations that we're having are kind of serious and grown up. I want to just add in an element. So I've been saying, I'm an adult, but if I don't schedule in meals, I absolutely forget to eat.
Okay. Yeah.
Have you got one?
Yes. So, so many things where I'm not really an adult. I'm an adult, but I watch kitten videos to cheer myself up sometimes.
Okay, I've got one more.
Okay.
I'm an adult, but yesterday I burst into tears on the phone company guy so that he'd pass me to his manager.
Fair enough. Okay, I'm an adult, but on Saturday I ate pumpkin pie in bed.
Oh, it's pumpkin pie season where you are.
Yeah. We just had Thanksgiving in Canada, so
Yeah, when I just came back from the States, I bought a suitcase full of all the things we can't get here, including like tons of pumpkin spice. So I'm going to have it forever. Yeah. Amy, if people want to find out more about you, where's the best place for them to go?
Oh, absolutely. My website is dowhatyouwant.co.
Nice. Excellent. Yeah. So I'll pop all of the links to that, your social media and other bits and pieces for people on the show notes. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. You're amazing. Thank you for the work that you do.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.